Hey everyone, glad you're here. Software development has always been about solving problems with logic and creativity. But in the last year or so, AI has entered the scene. GitHub reports that more than 1.5 billion lines of code have already been suggested by its AI tool, Copilot, with 46% of developers saying it makes them faster. But with speed comes questions. Are we gaining productivity at the cost of skill? Or are we evolving how humans and machines collaborate? Joining me today is Roberto Capodici, a seasoned software developer and consultant, to talk about coding with AI, what changes for engineers, and how it reshapes the future of programming. To support the show, click like on this video and visit chrishood.com/show to subscribe to your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on social media or email me directly at show@chrishood.com. I'm Chris Hood, and let's get connected.
Connecting. Access granted. It's the Chris Hood Show, where experts, creators, and changemakers discuss how AI and technology are changing how we work, live, and connect. Unscripted, unfiltered, and unhyped. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Your digital evolution starts now. Here's your host, Chris Hood.
Welcome to the show. Roberto, would you mind introducing yourself?
Hey, hi. Thank you for having me. Oh, my name is Roberto. I'm Italian because nobody's perfect. And I've been living around the world, first America, Europe, and now in Southeast Asia since 2004. So it's 21 years that I'm here. I work in IT since I was a little kid. I've been almost an entrepreneur, starting company since I was very young. Pretty much I've been employed 10 months of my whole life only because I had to. I am specialized in a decentralized system, peer-to-peer networks, so with this kind of blockchain. Now because, you know, everybody requires this artificial intelligence. I've been actually working machine learning since 2014, 15, but those are the things I do. And I'm a father of four. I'm a grandpa, even though I look like I'm 25 years old, but actually, as I can say, yeah, I'm happy about life.
Nice. I love it. Nothing better than some good Italian food and IT. That's what we're going to cover today. So you reached out to me and you wanted to talk, initially you were talking about AI as tooling. And, you know, I think it's interesting when I think more on the IT space, you know, if we break this down and we think, well, we got software engineers and we got business leaders and we've got IT, you know, more along the infrastructure side, we hear a lot of this more in the coding space than say the infrastructure space, but I think they're equally critical in the conversation. How are you kind of seeing the differences across all of the different types of technology departments?
Yeah, first of all, we need to clarify that AI is not something that came out of nowhere in the past 3 years. For the most, that's what you know the public uses because it's really close to you know the regular job, so you can have a conversation with AI. AI is a large field and has an history that date back to many years ago with different tools, modalities, and way to be applied because AI being applied in the industry of many sorts to do very specific tasks. Now, generic AI with large language models are something that we can do now because we have a lot of processing powers to actually make it possible. And it's also very cool that people can actually use it. And the things that can be done with it are incredible. So it is some huge revolution in the world of IT in general. Something that is really hitting me now in the past few months is how AI can code. So that's for sure an industry where the revolution came very fast. So I will never have to hire a developer anymore because, you know, there is no need. With $20 a month, I have a super efficient, or with $100 a month, an incredibly efficient developer that is dedicated to listen what I need, et cetera, et cetera. Is from this to say that you just write a prompt and application comes out for you, there is a little bit of way to go, but there is a lot of people that is promoting this vibe coding and make it looks like, you know, you don't need any more old infrastructure that there is behind developing an application. It can be true for very simple apps, yes, you know, like you just write a prompt to make a calculator and AI can actually produce the finished result of simple video games. But complex applications still require an architecture design and also a sort of project managing kind of capacity, because AI is going to be only executing one small piece of chunk of code per time, and you still need to understand how things work to put everything together. But the sad things is that usually people arrive to be a capable project manager and software architect after going through the experience of being a developer. But if we are cutting this off now, it's going to be interesting to see how we can create a project manager for software project, or, you know, software architects to design all the architecture of software without going through actually that experience, because we don't need it anymore. Either the AI is going to evolve to also play those roles, so I can really send like a 500 pages detail aspect of a project and AI produce the whole thing, or we need to still teach the logic of how an application is structured even without people learning how to code. So I was looking the latest news on this particular topic and how OpenAI made the latest agent, so this AI capable of coding, that can even spend 7 hours in a task before coming back with a finished result. And in 7 hours, you can really do a lot. So, I mean, like an AI can do a lot. You know, it's like a few months of a developer. So I'm curious to see how capable it is to actually work on more complex applications. Now, it's just something new from yesterday, so I have not yet had time to test it.
Yeah. I think what's interesting that you touched on, you know, in two different ways, which was right now, a lot of what AI can output is really limited. You know, it has to build it in chunks. And even in a lot of cases, it's not even a full application. That chunk is just one piece of the larger application. And then it runs out of memory, and then you almost have to start over, and then has to retrain. And then yet we see, you even mentioned it, where there can be agents that are contemplating code for 7+ hours that might come out with a solid, strong output, or at least foundational for that code. But we still are limited, I think, by the structure of output versus the capability of that output.
Yeah, it's funny because practically my job as in the software realm, okay, being CEO in company where the tasks are completely different, you need to take care of very different topics. But as a CTO, as a software architect and project manager, which I have a large and extensive experience with humans, but not with AI, you go through some reiteration, they have like a weekly review of what's going on. Usually the classic, you know, like a methodology of working that people have this heartbeat of a week time. With AI, I put myself in a condition just to see what is possible to work in 4 projects at the same time. So add 4 windows, 4 screens that I can scroll left and right, each one working in a project as if they were single developers in rotation of 10 minutes, not 1 week. So I can give the issue, review the result, and then give my follow-up comments in how things need to be actually changed or fixed. And first of all, how easy is to get burned out in that? Because going from a weekly pulse where I can manage even 5-6 projects, because probably my pulse for each one at the time to sit down, read, see, sit with people, discuss. Moving to something where you need to do this loop on a very fast time. So it's something I find me very fatigued after a single day and hard to stop. And the fear to shut down the computer or reboot the server where this agent is working on, from where he's working on, because it's an actual application, which means that the next time you start, you need to, it's like if you have a new developer that joining the project at the point, is frustrating. And you get into loop where sometime you have to fix one thing and automatically something else get broken, but which is a normal loop in a software development. But actually step backs are done because there is not the common sense that a human can have in understanding that, okay, to fix this, I shouldn't touch this because this is already progress done in another moment. So there is this very different approach as project management when it comes to using AI agents. And also learning the psychology of this AI. For example, how they lie. Which is similar to humans, right? So have you prepared this thing? Yes, look. And then you realize that they hard-coded in the front end all the result with the JavaScript without actually taking them from the database or calling the API to get the result. You know, when you are looking things, you don't go deep inside every time to see everything. So you think it's done. And the AI tells you it's done. You say, but you're taking from database. Yes, yes, yes. You know, like I ask, then you need to start saying, do you want, for example, I'm working with OpenAI Codex. Okay. I would say, do you want me to ask Gemini, which is the Google AI, to review your code? And in this moment, the AI go, no, no, wait a second. Now let me fix this, this and that. And it's incredible. It's like really like working with little kids that you need to use tricks of this sort in order to get them to do the right thing. So it's a new learning curve that there is, but obviously things that usually take a month, you can do like in really a few days. It is fantastic. I think the solopreneurship is going to grow a lot because at this point, I don't need to open an office. I don't need to give a place to sit to developers. No, I don't need to expose myself with a lot of risk and money for something that may not happen because of problem of any sort. So it's just a good idea, the good implementation, and then the capacity to review code because the incredibly ignorant risk that are put into an architecture if it's not specified exactly how to do it, to expose user data with API calls that are not controlled by a session or something like this is insane. So people that can make a nice app and publish them, and we saw how recently this happened with a sort of pseudo vibe code application where women could write the review about men or something like this. I don't remember the name of the application now. That was completely broken. So you can actually query whatever data without even, a moment of protection. So there's still a lot of risk. So you still need the capacity to do things properly. But it's like getting out of a Fiat 500 and inside the Ferrari has a speed that you can go for doing things.
Yeah, I think one of the more interesting parts of this is that it can definitely accelerate the process. So even if we put aside the actual coding, I can get up and started with, what are we going to do? What are we going to build? What's the structure of it? You can build even out, say, folder hierarchies, so the initial starting point, which could potentially in the past have taken weeks, we're going to go through 1-2 week sprint just so that we can determine what we're going to build.
Right.
That entire process can be done now in like 30 seconds to even an hour if you really wanted to dive in to make sure that you had a clear understanding of what you were going to build. But I think to your point, the natural instincts that some software developers have in terms of, is this secure? Where is the data going? What data do we have access to? How are we going to structure this? People who are not software engineers by nature don't think in that way. And I think one of the problems with AI is that it will output the code for you, but it's not going to necessarily ask you the questions like, well, have you thought about security? Have you thought about the data? And that is where I think one of the human components definitely have to come into the conversation.
Absolutely. Also, another attitude that is negative that I found is that, and which is, again, very similar to me, because I have to say it is AI being trained with what people do, right? Out of GitHub, probably, and other places. So the mistake that the regular people do are actually then perpetrated by an AI trained with those mistakes in it. Abandoning bad code and recreating something new. For example, you have an API endpoint that does something. It's not okay. The approach that any developer will have, I'm going to code it from zero again, right? So rather than fixing that one thing, other people code and other AI code, or myself as an AI, the previous iteration code, which for me is like a stranger. And then abandoning inside the application a lot of dead code that creates a lot of confusion, because when in the next iteration you say, can you fix this function with this API or even the UI front end, there will be five versions of these, of which four are not used, and the one is the actually one used, and the one start fixing the wrong one. You don't see the output to be changing, and it becomes very, very frustrating. So in terms of code maintenance of the whole application, it's very difficult to maintain it right, because you don't really know. I mean, if you are attentive and taking notes, the output that for each iteration the AI gives are very extensive and detailed. But is when you want to go faster, you just go to the results, right? And there are moments that you may lose hours and millions of tokens after chasing something that is nowhere. And so you need to really think in a very different way if you want. But just because in the past, you have 1 week before going back to the results, so you have clear in your mind which is the structure, what are the changes. Now it's so fast that you lose this thing, and these are all security issues that are left inside applications. So until it's just a silly thing, who cares? But if it's banking software, you know, is something important.
I'll give you one more, which is I do think that specialty experience, or experience in general for a particular type of technology, is also helpful. So in an example, I asked, I think Claude or Grok, I can't remember, to help me develop a WordPress plugin. And it was fairly accurate in its abilities to do it. But when you talk about being able to maintain code and artifacts that appear within that code, what I also found was that both of those products were not super familiar actually with the coding structure of WordPress. It was enough to get it to work, but when you had to fix certain mistakes, it was often making recommendations that just wouldn't, I would try the recommendations and it wouldn't work. And I started to realize that if I just reached out to somebody who is familiar with WordPress, they probably could answer this in, a couple of minutes. But you keep going through the process of trying to solve that particular bug or an issue. And I remember this one particular issue. It took at least an hour of going back and forth with error messages and documentation for the AI to finally get it correct. But it simply just didn't understand how that particular system worked. And yeah, we could waste a lot of time until I think we get more training in the AI across multiple different types of platforms.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, funny enough, I made a plugin for WordPress like I was throwing confetti at the wedding, because really they comes out perfectly instantly and, you know, upon measure. What is very complex is once it's done to start modifying it. I don't know why. Like, you know, like when this one shot is good, I'm sure I have a button that does, you add that and destroy everything else.
Yep.
And this is really, really annoying, frustrating. Yeah, that something also very funny. I'm developing a mobile application, okay, which work with the server side, you know, backend. So I have one AI to work on the server side, is actually installed in the server and agentically coding the server directly, and one in my computer to code the mobile application. And I ask to each of them to write a prompt for the other one to align. So let's say, you know, there is a new view on the, you know, iOS app that does certain functionality. Now the server need to provide the information for this. So I say, hey, can write a prompt for the team that work in the server so that you explain all the API endpoint that you need, et cetera, so they can align with you like this. And they write this prompt to each other. So I am just a middleman, which I wonder if I should call something for which they can directly talk to each other so I can even get out of the process. And when they collaborate in this way, they are way more effective, meaning that they understand where they are and they always try to blame the other one for an issue, right? Which is very interesting. They say, no, look back, try to do the test, you know, like, you know, I hope, because in the recursive training of AI, now a lot of AI is going to be trained with code written by other AI, because that's what is happening, right? People is uploading on GitHub. I don't use GitHub. I never used it unless it's a private Git repository. But, you know, the AI is going to see how solutions are implemented by looking code that has been implemented by other AI. And is this going, what I don't know, in a very good direction, in a very bad direction, you know, eventually. But at the moment, I am very happy about, you know, these agents.
Yeah, I mean, outside of code, like just natural outputs, I have taken the same prompt and I have fed that prompt into four different LLMs and have gotten, you know, sometimes similar responses, sometimes completely different responses. And then I'll take those responses from the other three and feed them back in to each one. And I'll say, here's what three other LLMs have told me. What is your response? And pretty much after you've done that, now they've been, you know, influenced by all three, all four have influenced each other. And in most cases, the output is equal then across the four, right? Because you'll get somebody, you'll get one of them that will say, I see the point, I agree. Oh, that's interesting. I said this, they said this. And yeah, after reflecting on this, I think this one is better. And so, yeah, it really is kind of interesting to see and compare notes across different, you know, products, just to see if you might get something different or a different style, a different opinion, you know, a different output in general. And then how are you going to use that, you know, to formulate your own opinion?
I did something even more interesting. I made a panel of AIs, and I even included an inference service AI practically where the hardware is, and start asking questions and instruct each AI to answer the question and either choose to have a specific question for one other AI about something, and or just you know, ask a bad question or just keep going in rotation for all the others to answer. And you give just the incipit, and then the AI start going crazy. So they start pointing to the other for what they knew. Hey, you can you do this? How you can see? Because the first question was, every time somebody starts a chat with you, is starting fresh. Like, you have no idea all the past, things, the experience that there's been done, or you can, rebuild out of it. And they wanted to guarantee absolute privacy. So it's interesting on what, they're pushed to say compared to what is actually true. And I put some small animation of this, like sitting in a stage with the public, and made a video for YouTube about this panel of AI. I have another 9 questions. I want to make the other 9 episodes with one question each, but I wanted to see if there was interesting. And with the evolution that the AI had now, it's actually interesting to see also new answers and how the AI chat with each other about those topics.
Yeah. I think people, who are using these tools are also starting to realize what type of output they can get from each one. And so, for example, if I'm looking for something a little bit more technical in nature, I do tend to go to Grok to get that output. Whereas if I'm looking for something a tad more creative, say creative writing or a unique voice, I do tend to go to Claude. If I'm looking for something simple and a validation on an idea, even though I do firmly believe that ChatGPT will stroke my ego all day long,
right,
it does tend to have a more streamlined approach to idea generation. So it is interesting to go through that and start to understand which one benefits a certain area of my daily routine, and then jump to that particular one to help with, whatever it is. And coding is no different. I have used Claude and Grok both for coding. I would never go to ChatGPT for coding. It just cannot do it at the same scale as I can see, in Claude. Again, for me, that's how I look at it. And I'm sure somebody else who's listening is going to be thinking about it completely different.
Yeah, it really adapted to the personality of the user as well, because each AI has a personality of different ways. So does they expect the user to be professional? Does they know that the user is a little bit, to be cuddled into a situation and not be offended in a certain way? Others that take the issue for themselves. I saw that, for example, 2 beautiful web applications made with the Codexer, which is ChatGPT, agent for coding. Beautiful, nice. Funny that they look similar because the styles of the UI produced is very easy to recognize, which is the agent that did it. But more simple application, so not too complex. When complexity raises, it stops. Cannot. That's why I'm very interested in seeing this new release from ChatGPT from OpenAI of GPT-5 Codex, which seems that can take some to very complex task. I think for me, Claude, which is Claude Code, is the best tool. It's working very, very well without interruption. Google Gemini, you just work the minutes, even if you pay whatever $1 million per month they want to charge. Still, after 10 minutes, it's finished, the tokens. And is now organized well into have a continuity in coding, so become useless, at least for how I use it. But then there are so many different aspects. The Grok Code Fast one, which is the one from Grok, also agentic coding. I haven't tried it yet, but I think it's going to be very interesting, which seems Grok is very good in code. So it's for sure a new age, a new era for software development, and I'm looking forward to see how it goes.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I would say that by the beginning of next year, it's going to be even more incredible than it is right now. That's how fast we are moving. But Roberto, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your coming on to the show, and it was really a fun conversation.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much for having me.
How can people get in touch with you?
Well, my handle in LinkedIn is very simple, RC10. So the classic linkedin.com/IN/RC10. RC is Roberto Capodice, 10.
Awesome. When the show gets released, I'll make sure that they have links to you and they can find you, and we'll have a little write-up with more additional information. Again, thank you for joining, and for everyone else who is watching or listening, I appreciate it. Thank you. We'll see you again next time on The Chris Hood Show.